Hi, welcome to the first episode of Cubby Correlation. This is a Chicago Cubs blog and podcast with regards to statistical analysis. My name is Danny, and I'm joined by Peter.
Hi.
So this is our first episode, and we are going to talk about many different things in the first episode. Primarily, we're going to focus on our expectations for the 2019 season. The first week of spring training has gone by. As of right now, it's March 3rd, Sunday at about 1:50. So everything up to now we're going to discuss, recapping, and then we're going to get into some talking about some contract extensions possibility at the end of the show. So thank you for listening, and so let's dive in. First of all, we're going to introduce ourselves. My name's Danny. I'm a economics major at the University of Illinois. I do a lot of data analysis work. I'm a big baseball fan. I grew up a Cubs fan. If you read that first post on the blog, kind of details a lot about my history as a Cubs fan. I used to go to games a lot when I was younger, watch them on TV when I come home from school. Now I'm trying to get back into watching the Cubs. I watched a game yesterday in WGN, and I've also done some sports blogging in the past. When I was in high school, when I was like a junior, I did some sports blogging. I wrote about the Cubs. I wrote about the Sox a bit. I wrote about the Mariners. I started becoming a Mariners fan at the time, so that's why. And then I actually worked for not my own stuff, but I was working for somebody else. I was doing beat reporting for the Minnesota Twins, as like a volunteer type of thing as well, and for a bit. So I've done this before, but this time it's going to be a little bit different because I've learned going through college and just going through life. I've learned more about the better and more important statistics in baseball, like such as like weighted runs created plus FIP, you know, stuff like that. Instead of just like batting averages and stuff. So I'm hoping that we bring a lot of better in-depth statistics to analyze players, analyze trades, opinions, predictions, and bring in a lot of math and statistics and see where we go from there. Peter?
Hi, I'm Peter. I grew up on south suburbs of Chicago in a big Cubs household. My dad grew up on like the north side. And he's super into baseball, so there's been a lot of exposure from that. I study mathematics. When the Cubs actually won the World Series for the first time in forever, I was at IU studying cognitive science, but I switched over, so I'm excited to do more of that analytical part. Don't have a lot of experience with sports, in particular with statistics, but I do have a bunch of modeling. Statistical modeling experience, and I do like the Cubs, so this should be pretty fun.
So now that we've introduced ourselves and kind of told you the focus of this podcast and the blog altogether, we're going to start getting into something that I think a lot of people are getting really pumped about. Right now it's spring training, and the season's about to start in about the end of the month. And so a lot of people are probably wondering how the Cubs are going to do this year, and can they win the World Series, go back and win it? I mean, last year, it was kind of a disappointment. They lost to the Brewers in Game 163 of the World Series of the season, and then they got knocked out of the wild card game by the Rockies, so that was a little bit of a disappointment. They lost both games at home, which was even more sad. But I think the team altogether is going to be a lot better this year. A lot of guys are coming back from injured seasons, especially Chris Bryant and Yu Darvish. I mean, those two guys had significant injuries last year, especially Darvish. And you have some other guys like Brian Dunson coming back from injuries and a full season of Cole Hamels, and I just think there's a lot of positivities about this Cubs team, even though a lot has happened in the division over the offseason. The Reds have gotten better, The Cardinals have definitely gotten better without a doubt. The Brewers were kind of on the down low in the off season, but I mean, they're coming off a season where they were one game away from the World Series. So you never, and people predicted them to be, they people predicted them to regress last season. They actually were the best team in the National League Central and went to the NLCS. So, I mean, you can't really count the Brewers out. I mean, it's going to be a tough year, I think, this year. The National League, actually, I feel it's going to be pretty strong with all these things that have gone on in the past couple weeks, especially with Bryce going to the Phillies and Machado going to the Padres and all these different teams getting better and all the trades like Goldschmidt going to the Cardinals and the Reds getting all those players from the Dodgers and stuff like that. Just going to be a really competitive season all across, especially the National League, but I think all across baseball. So it's going to be really hard, I think, to predict who's going to come out in the National League on top. I think the East is extremely competitive, and if not, I think the Central is the most competitive division. I think every team but the Pirates in the Central has a chance of winning the division, possibly. I mean, maybe not really the Reds, but I mean, I think the Reds would be starting to trend upwards. But I think definitely the Brewers, the Cardinals, and the Cubs could end up on top. And I think in the National League East, you'll probably see like the I think you'll probably see possibly the Braves or the Nationals on top, or the Phillies. Those three teams are going to definitely be on top in the division. I see the Mets falling short. Definitely the Marlins are going to be by far, if not the worst team in baseball. In the West, I could see the Dodgers probably winning the division again. I think the Padres are going to maybe finish in second place. I like their young pitching a lot. Kenny Machado was a huge move for them. I think Hosmer will bounce back this year. You're going to see Urias up and Tatis. They're both going to be playing for the Padres. So, and then they have their outfield, all those outfielders, and pretty strong bullpen. And then I think Diamondbacks probably finish after that, and then Giants and the Rockies will. I think the Rockies might also be in the mix as well. It could go either way. But if I had to, I'm not going to be a homer here. But if I had to predict how the National League will go out, I think it would have to be. I would say. In the East, you'll probably have. I'm trying to think of who I could see coming out on top. I want to say, and I'm going to make a bold claim here. I'm going to say the Nationals are going to finish first place. If the teams stand as they are right now without trade deadline moves or anything, obviously that can change. But if every player were to stay on the team from now until the end, I think currently how it looks out is the Nationals will finish in first place. I could see the Braves getting a wild card. The Phillies will just barely miss the playoffs. And the Mets will finish above 500, but not really be as competitive as the other teams. I could see the and then the Marlins are going to be in the bottom. Regarding the Central, I'm not going to be a homer here, but I honestly believe the Cubs can finish out on top. They have a really versatile, flexible lineup. A lot of really good players in that lineup. Their pitching staff, now that everyone's going to be healthy in a full season, Cole Hamels, I think that they're really going to be good. I mean, they have Lester, Hamels, Hendricks, Q. And they have Darvish. I mean, that's pretty good. And then, I mean, the Cardinals definitely got better this season, but I don't know if their starting pitching is going to be as good as the Cubs. The Brewers probably, I mean, Jimmy Nelson's coming back this season. They basically have a lot of the team coming back from last year. Yelich is still on the team. I mean, I could probably see it going Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Reds, and Pirates. And that's how I'd see it. And I would say that I think that the Brewers will get a wild card as well as Atlanta. And then if I had to predict the West, I would probably say the Dodgers. I want to go, yeah, I'm going to change up a bit. I'm going to go Dodgers, Rockies, Padres, Diamondbacks, and the Giants finishing in the bottom of the division. And that's just how I see the National League. So basically I'm just trying to focus on what I think about the 2019 Cubs, because I mean, World Series predictions come closer to the season once everybody's made the team. I really think that you're going to see huge steps from Almora is going to, I really think he's going to take over center field job down the line, and you're going to see him shine a lot this year. I think Schwarber will get better as a left fielder. His bat might come back a lot. Hayward's going to be Hayward. I mean, really good defensive outfielder. Bat's not there like the others. I'm wondering if Javier Baez is going to regress a little bit, if he's going to get better. I think he's a really good player. Ben Zobrist had the best year, arguably, of his career last year. And he's going to wonder if he's going to fall off a cliff or he's going to be still really good this year. And Happ is also going to be on the team. I expect Rizzo to probably have a pretty good season. He struggled last year, and we'll get into that later. And I expect Brian to be back in MVP talks. And then Contreras is pretty good catcher for the Cubs, and hopefully his bat picks up a bit. And like I said, the pitching staff is strong. I like the bullpen a lot. Peter, you have any thoughts on the 2019 Cubs?
Yeah, so with the spring training statistics, we don't have a ton of them yet, but so in 2018, a person who led all batters in OPS was Dan Vogelback. He had a 1.455 OPS last spring, and then during the season, he only had a 0.691 in the limited action with Seattle Mariners. So hopefully we'll get better statistics this year. I think some of the disappointment last year came from discrepancies, especially losing to the Brewers. I think that a bunch of our players had a down last year, some dips in their statistics. Maybe it has to do with age. We'll get into that with like the contract extensions. But I definitely think that we have a shot at least our region.
Okay, so now we're going to probably dive into what a lot of you have been wanting to hear about us, and this is going to be the bulk of the episode, just talking about the first week of spring training. So if we're going to start off on any point, I think the biggest highlight of the spring training so far has just been how good the starting pitching has looked. Lester had a little bit of a rough outing yesterday. But besides that, he's looked good. Cole Hamels has looked good. Hendricks has been very solid. Hamels and Hendricks so far have had scoreless outings. And the thing about Hendricks also is he's incorporating a nice curveball this spring, and it's really showed when he's pitched. And another thing that's been really nice about how the starting pitching is that even though in his first outing he was a little bit out of control, and he said he looked better in his bullpen sessions with his command and control, Yu Darvish has looked great velocity-wise. He was topping 96 miles an hour, and he was ranging most of his outing in between 94 and 95. So, I mean, to have that back would be a really good Yu Darvish, and mentally and...
17 Cubs was the velocity factor on the pitching, like especially when we went against the Brewers in the 2017 season. I think our pitchers were unstoppable.
Yeah, and so like Yu Darvish, he's coming off a year where he had a lot of, just coming off that loss in the Dodgers World Series from 2017, had a lot on him, the big contract signing, the bad health. I mean, hopefully this spring he's able to continue that health and continue to flash the velocity. And as he works the spring, his command and control will come back how he used to be for like the Rangers and the Dodgers. Another thing is when you look at Jose Quintana, he's also looked good. He's working on a changeup this spring, which has looked really effective. According to Jordan Bastian, he writes for MLB.com, he was saying that Quintana wants to focus this spring on his changeup. He threw 7 against the Diamondbacks in the 2 innings he pitched the other day. He got a swing and a miss, a called strike, a foul, and 0 balls in play. So, I mean, him working on that changeup is going to be very critical for him this season as he continues to establish himself as a big name in the Cubs rotation. And the biggest thing that has been, I think, out of a lot of people's minds is, what are the Cubs going to do with Tyler Chatwood? Tyler Chatwood was really bad last year. He walked like, I think it was like 8.6 per 9 or something. He walked a lot of batters. He got kicked out of the rotation. He was put in the bullpen. And one of the things was just his mechanics. He had very poor mechanics last year, and he said he won this offseason, and he's trying to fix those mechanics. And his first start was a little rough. He gave up a home run. He hit a batter. I think he had a walk, and he gave up like 3 runs. But the parents out of relief the other day after Quintana pitched was great. He looked a lot better than he has in a while. His line versus Diamondbacks was he pitched 3 innings, going gave up 3 hits, didn't even walk a single batter, and he had 3 strikeouts as well. He had 3 flyouts and 3 groundouts, and he averaged about 93.8 miles per hour with his 4-seam fastball, which topped out at about 96.2. And he had a lot of balls on the plate as well, so that was nice to see. He mixed in his changeup, his curveball, cutter, 4-seam, and 2-seam. So, I mean, we'll just see as he goes on if he can continue to. I think he's going to end up being a long reliever for the Cubs, but he would be, if he continues to look as strong as he did the other day, in case they need an emergency starter, in case someone gets injured, he would definitely be the guy to fill in. And, I mean, they're paying him a lot, so it'd be kind of hard for them to just cut him. And they could use him in the bullpen. And regarding position players, I mean, one thing that's been amazing so far is that Chris Bryant looks like Chris Bryant. Up until yesterday, he had, I don't know if this has changed, but he had no strikeouts in the games he played. He had the first game that he played in, he had a huge home run. He had walked three times as of yesterday. And he, as of yesterday, he only had 1 error. And he made two putouts as well. So hopefully he gets better defensively as a third baseman. And his bat is starting to look like it's coming back to where it was in 2017. And he's going to look really good again. And I think he'll be up in MVP discussions by the end of the season. Another thing that really pointed out to me is I was watching Kyle Schwarber in the box. And his play discipline has looked really good. In his first 5 games of the spring, he's walked 6 times and he only had 2 strikeouts. That was pretty big to me. Kyle Schwarber struck out a lot last season and didn't walk as much. So he definitely is taking a different approach to the plate. And it will be interesting to see if that carries over to the season. And I think it will really help him offensively. Another thing is, in the game against the Giants, Davey Bodie got hit in the head by a pitch, and they had to take him out, and he was out for a couple days, and they had to medically evaluate him, and luckily he's okay. If he would have been injured, that would have caused definitely some competition for utility spot, and he was a really big offensive player last year for the Cubs, came up in a lot of different ways in a bunch of different moments and did well. And to have him out would really hurt the team. So it's nice to see him. Another thing is Jason Hayward is still not played as of yesterday. He has some personal issues going on, apparently. Hopefully, whatever it is, I hope he's able to start playing some games soon so he can get his reps in for the spring so he's ready for the regular season. We've seen it before. I've seen it in the past. If guys don't usually have a spring training and they come into the season just sign, sometimes they look really bad. So I'm hoping that's not the case in Hayward's case. Hopefully he can get some reps in before the end of spring so he's not just fresh coming into the spring and he's really cold. I mean, in the regular season. Another thing that I have liked seeing so far is that Brian Dunsing has looked a lot better. As yesterday, he pitched two innings with two strikeouts and one hit so far this spring. I mean, it's a small sample size, but he's looked different. And he's crediting it towards a diet he's on. So we'll see how much that sticks up. But the Cubs need, besides Montgomery, they need some really strong left-handed pitchers in that bullpen. And if and Dunsing's also being paid around like $3 million, so to cut that would take a lot out of the payroll of wasted money. So hopefully he continues to get better this spring and comes into the season and he pitches really sharp out as a lefty out of the bullpen. We will be back after our commercial break. So we are back here on Cubby Correlation, and the next topic we are going to dive into is contract extensions. As you know, a lot of the Cubs position players and some of their starting pitchers are now starting to get up into their upper 20s, around 30s, and the Cubs are going to have to start paying some guys the money they deserve based off their market value, because otherwise they're going to lose these players in the next coming years in free agency. And as I'm moving into, the Cubs are going to have a lot of money off the books after the next season and especially the next two. So the first player we're going to talk about, and the one I think that deserves the biggest extension out of every player on this team, is Chris Bryant. I'm currently, with Peter's help, making an article on predicting extension for Chris Bryant. So I'm going to pull some details out of that to kind of discuss my talking point on why Bryant should be extended. And Peter has some things to say as well in a bit. So Chris Bryant right now is currently one of the best players in baseball. And, even though he was injured last season, he's still, since he's been in the league, has been one of the top producers in baseball offensively. So this offseason, especially in the last couple weeks, we have seen, Bryce Harper sign a 13-year, $330 million contract. We've seen Manny Machado sign a 10-year, $300 million contract. And we've also seen, which is the biggest, I think, contract you can compare to what Bryant, like the minimum Bryant should be making, is like a is a 8-year, $260 million contract extension Nolan Arenado signed with the Rockies. So Bryant isn't really a free agent until the 2021 season ends. So in that offseason, he'll be turning 30. His agent is Scott Boras, so there's some skepticism to whether he will be willing to sign an extension. But I think in the best interest for the Cubs and Bryant, it's the best case to be going for an extension. Now for the Cubs, sign him for an extension, because the biggest thing is that the new contract bargaining agreement talks are coming up soon, and it would be a lot better to sign him beforehand, so it's a net benefit for the Cubs, just in case more money goes towards the players after this new agreement. And also signing Bryant in free agency might be harder to do. He might go to another team, and for the Cubs to lose Bryant, that would be a huge net loss, a huge loss. And for Bryant, he's not really, he doesn't, the Cubs don't have to pay him any more money besides an arbitration until the 2021-2022 offseason. So for Bryant to sign an extension now and start getting paid and persuade the Cubs to give him an extension now, he could probably see a lot more money coming his way as a player. The thing is that Bryant spent last season on the injured list with left shoulder inflammation, so that might hurt him a bit. But at the same time, it really should, and I'm going to dive into why in a little bit. But the big thing I want to bring up is, since we're talking about these contract extensions, a lot of people are like, can the Cubs really do this? And here's some numbers just to let you know what the Cubs payroll looks like in the next couple of seasons. After this season, the amount of payroll allocations the Cubs will have is going to be $130,500,000 in 2020. And then in 2021, the Cubs' payroll drops all the way to $63.5 million. And then in 2022, it dips all the way down to $43.5 million. So the Cubs are really opening a lot of money off the books in the next couple of years so they can start paying their position players who are very good. These extensions to keep them so they don't lose the players. Now, they're not going to probably be able to sign everybody we're going to discuss just because everybody can get a huge deal. That doesn't always happen. I mean, you have to have some money for other players, and players are going to be drafted and coming up, top prospects. They might want to replace them. Based off of how the Cubs are projecting these players to do in the next couple seasons. And if you look at the history of the Cubs drafting, I don't know if this is going to change anytime soon, but they have been really good at drafting and developing position players. And they haven't really been drafting and developing powerful pitchers. Everybody in their rotation has been either traded for or acquired via free agency. I mean, Lester was a free agency signing. Hamels was a trade. Quintana was a trade. Darvish was a free agency signing. Hendricks was a trade. I mean, either the Cubs are going to start developing power pitching or really high quality starting pitching, but that's going to take a couple of years for them to develop as players. And these position players are now starting to head towards free agency. And for the Cubs to lose these guys would mean a lot for the team, but they've been really good at developing position players, so it might not be as bad as it sounds. But just like the players that they have are so good that some of them are definitely worth extending. Just looking at the data alone, I've been so trying to predict a contract extension for Bryant. I've been predicting his contract extension to Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, Bryce Harper, and also Mike Trout. And it's also worth mentioning that in the last couple of days, there have been rumors going out that the Angels are trying to think of extending Mike Trout so he doesn't hit free agency. And they're thinking of giving him like a 10-year, $350 million deal is a possibility rumored trade deal, which would make him the highest average annually played baseball player in history. And it's definitely probably the top point that Bryant can make. I don't think he'll make that much. And so why I'm including that is because I think that Bryant can make anywhere between Nolan Arenado's contract of like 280-something versus Mike Trout's potential contract of 350. I don't think he'll make that much, but that's just a talking point. And the reason why is not only he's definitely more limited in defense than most of those players of Trout, Harper, Arenado, and Machado, but the thing is that his bat is so good, and he's such a good offensive player. He's such a flexible and versatile player. He also knows how to play left field, plays third base. I'm pretty sure if the Cubs asked him to learn first base, it wouldn't even be a problem either. So this is why I think that Bryant should be the player that they definitely look into extending. And when you look into, since Bryant came to the league in 2015, when you look at he's definitely has played the least amount of games, but he also didn't start the 2015 season when he was called up. He came up a little bit afterwards because he was in the minors for contract extent for more years of control for the Cubs. And he's also had that shoulder injury last year. And so that's one. But like, if you compare Bryant to Mike Trout, they both hover over about between like 85 to 90% of games played over 162 game season over the last couple of years, and Bryce Harper as well. So he's pretty close to Bryce Harper's long games played. So this is a big talking point, is how many games has the player played? Well, he's been playing a lot of games. Even though he had that injury last year, he's still been up there with these other guys who are making good amounts of money. when you compare their OPS, Chris Bryant actually has a higher OPS than Manny Machado. So his on-base percentage and his slugging is higher than Machado. So that's a talking point. And when you look at one of the biggest things that point out to me is I graph their rated runs created plus, which is a stat because it's a stat to compare offense. It's interesting because it's park and year adjusted, so you can compare players across different timelines of baseball, and it factors and it adjusts for parks. Like Arenado plays in a really hitter friendly park, and if you look at the weighted runs created plus stat. And you graph it, and you look at the graph, Bryant is somewhere close to 150. He averages 150 weighted runs created plus a season, which is incredible. He has a higher weighted runs created plus than Manny Machado and Arenado, who just got the 280, and Machado got the 300 contract. And he's also, and Harper is a little bit around 150. So, yeah, he's pretty close to Harper as well. So, I mean, he's definitely up there. When you look at WAR, Chris Bryant is actually the only player he's not above that I'm comparing is Mike Trout. So, Chris Bryant in WAR since he's came to the league has been above Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, and Bryce Harper. He's accumulated around a 25 WAR, so that's really good. And WAR is usually one of the biggest statistics in terms of how good is a player because it accounts for offense and defense, and it's used as a negotiation for talking contracts as well, like how much is a player worth per WAR and stuff like that. And so even though Bryant's a little bit limited defensively compared to those players, his bat makes up so much for his defense that I believe he's like in the last between 2015 and 2018, he's like fourth in WAR in Major League Baseball. So, I mean, it's crazy. And I've already talked about his defensive limitations. But the thing about Bryant is that he could play outfield as well. And if you, like I said, the Cubs needed to move him to first base because he was getting so bad defensively at third base and their outfield was crowded. I'm pretty sure moving Bryant to first base, he could end up turning to be a semi-decent first baseman. He won't be Rizzo, but he would probably be really good. Peter, do you have anything to say about Chris Bryant?
Yeah, so Chris Bryant, if you look at the 2018 season, he saw a relatively big drop in most major offensive categories. But when we look at it, he dealt with a serious shoulder injury and a really, really bad hit by pitch. And that made him miss 60 games. So if we look at his stats last season, so his main hitting stats with the batting average, the OBP, and the SLG, it's .272, .374, and .460. And even last season, all of those are above average. The average for the 2018 season was about 2.25, .32, and .4. So he's significantly above average with 13 home runs and a 52 RBI. And his strikeout rate also increased. But this season, my starting projection is for him to finish about 0.273, 0.376, and 0.473. So all of them are going to go up with at least 23 home runs and a 75 RBI by the end of the season. If he misses even a fraction of the games that he missed last season, it's still more than doable. And I think I agree. He's been proven to be one of the best time and time again, even despite the circumstances. So I think that we will see an increase in that offensive performance with Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's won the MVP award already, and he's only 27. So Bryant has a huge career ahead of him.
Yeah, I think easily twice the home runs.
Yeah. So the next player we're going to talk about is Wilson Contreras. He's been a really big push as a catcher for the Cubs. And He's been pretty good offensively as well, especially as a catcher. So when Kyle Schwarber tore his ACL, that actually opened up room to move Schwarber to left field to prevent, definitely one point of it is to prevent Schwarber from having another injury behind the plate, because catching is a really hard position to play. And it was just a spot to open up to play Contreras in the lineup every day. And Peter, what do you think about Wilson Contreras, and do you think it is worth it for the Cubs to extend him down the line?
So looking back at last season, he caught almost 1,110 innings, up from the roughly 821 he caught the year before. But he saw a big drop in almost every offensive category. His WRC plus was like right at the mean, the weighted stat. And he finished up by his batting stats were almost exactly average. The batting average was 0.249. The average was 0.248. So it's virtually just average. He did a little bit better with on-base percentage and slugging percentage. Well, actually, he did worse with the slugging percentage, but his on-base percentage was roughly 0.02 higher than average at 0.339. And he was pretty significantly below average on slugging, with a 0.390 when the average is 0.409. So, I mean, that's a point, what, like 0.19 below average? Or 0.019 below average, sorry. So that's not great. I think we can project him to do a little better. That being said, it's not hard for him to do that much better, because he, on some of his stats, he just has to do average to improve. And maybe projected to hit around 10, 15 home runs and account for a 60 RBI. It's pretty doubtful that he'll surpass the 1,000 inning mark again this season, which maybe will be a better thing for Contreras, but I don't think he's as strong of a pick for extending as Bryant or some of the other players.
Yeah, I think you have a point. I mean, catchers usually, I would say, as they get older, they probably, because they're of the way they play, that spend so much time catching, it has a lot to do on their body, and usually their knees and their legs. And a lot of catchers are end up get moved to first base over time. So I think definitely, like, if we were gonna, out of all the players we're about to talk about, I think that Contreras probably has the least amount of chance of getting extended. But at the same time, talking about next season, this season, usually catchers aren't really known for their offensive game. They're more of a defensive play calling position. And Contreras is a pretty decent, solid hitting catcher. And he also catches pretty well too. So, I mean, he could potentially be a player that the Cubs extend. But I think out of all the players we're going to talk about, besides Rizzo, I think that he is probably the least to get in. He is one of the least to get the chance to be extended. So the next player I want to talk about is Kyle Schwarber. I mean, we all know Schwarber is a big bat. He came out of IU as a Indiana University in the draft, when he came out as one of the top pure-hitting college players. But the thing with Schwarber is that he doesn't really have a position to play on the diamond that he excels at a lot. He's a really good hitter. He fits probably best as a designated hitter in another league. But I know that I think the Cubs value his hitting so much that that's why they haven't traded him yet for like another player to help improve their team. And maybe if Schwarber gets better in left field over the next couple seasons, they'll think about extending him. But I think the thing is, if the Cubs have plans of putting Bryant in left field in the long term, if they extend him, then there's not really going to be room for Schwarber to play anywhere unless they try to put him at first base. But we'll see what happens. So Yeah, the other player that could the other player that's worth talking about is Javier Baez. I mean, that guy had a breakout season last year. He played really good as a shortstop. He hit for power last season. He was in MVP discussions. He was a phenomenal baseball player. Is there anything you think about Javier Baez, Peter, and potentially getting extended?
I think it would be a pretty strong choice. Last year was like a career year for him. And he played in like an amazing number of games and excelled pretty much everywhere. So he did really good as a second baseman, sometimes a shortstop. He slashed his batting stats are .29, about .33, and about .55, which is pretty good, especially the slugging stat. That's a lot bigger than average. He hit 34 home runs and accounted for 111 RBI. So over 100 RBI is pretty substantial. As far as projections, I think most of it'll stay pretty the same. I don't know if he can do quite as well this season, but if he can stay healthy again, a lot of the numbers, or at least getting close, is definitely reachable. And since he's moved into a full-time role, he has not hit lower than a .27 while seeing his ISO continue in, like, just increasing over the last 3 years. So just projecting even 27 home runs and, I don't know, around 80 RBI would be easily realistic. Hopefully he'll continue to build on a strong season in 2019 and produce some more big numbers.
Yeah, and he's still relatively young, so I definitely think he's one of the top candidates for an extension by the Cubs. I think if he puts up another strong season, they'll definitely think about starting extension talks with him.
Yeah, an RBI over 100 is pretty cool.
Yeah. So next one we're going to talk about is actually a starting pitcher. And he's definitely the youngest starting pitcher on the Cubs. And he probably has the least overpowering stuff as a starting pitcher on the Cubs. But he's just a player with his stuff and the way he has command and control of pitches and putting pitches where he wants them to go is what makes him a really effective pitcher. And he had a really good season last year. He was in Cy Young talks a couple seasons ago as well. Yes, Kyle Hendricks. And I just believe that he's a pitcher, even with, he doesn't have the most overpowering stuff, but his stuff is so good that as he ages, he's going to be able to continue to still play at a very well level as a starting pitcher, just because of how well he mixes up his pitches and he knows how to get batters out. And even with his lower velocity pitches. Do you have anything to say about Kyle Hendricks?
I think probably there's going to be a steady increase in statistics for him. I think, like you said, he's pretty rounded as a pitcher. I think he's got a good shot at contributing to some wins. I don't know if he's as strong as some of the other pitchers on the team, but I guess we'll see on that one.
Yeah, I mean, and I definitely think if they're thinking of extending any pitcher in that rotation, he definitely will probably want the least amount of money, or they'll be able to negotiate the smallest contract with him. And like you brought up earlier in the podcast, like the age of the starting pitching, like Lester's 35, Hamels is 35, Darvish is like 32, I believe, and Quintana just turned 30, if I'm not mistaken, or he's about to turn 30. So, like, and Hendricks is also around 29, 30. So,
right, and we've got a couple injuries on them too.
Yeah, so I mean, like, if the Cubs are looking to keep one pitcher down the line, I believe it's gonna probably be Hendricks. I just know signing Lester after in his higher 30s and Hamels, even though he's still amazing, he was really good for the Cubs last year when he got traded. You just don't want to take that risk of them flopping. And I mean, I believe Hamels is making $20 million this season. Lester's also making a lot of money. And since they're veterans in the league, they're probably still going to want a good amount of money. And if the Cubs are going to be extending these position players, they're going to need to spend less money on pitching potentially. And maybe what they can start thinking about doing over, and this could be a talking point we have in later episodes, is do some scouting for if they're not going to develop these pitchers on their own in their own farm system, maybe start finding ways for the guys they're not going to extend and the guys they can replace with their strong farm system of position players. Maybe they could start trading for some young, cost-effective starters around the league. What do you think, Peter?
Yeah, I think cost-effective players is good. The way they really won the World Series was they rebuilt their team. They kind of shopped around, and it wasn't great for a long time, but then eventually it was really great. So I think making sure that they don't fall behind the kind of renewal, staying ahead of the curve and putting time into like planning and working on next year and the year after that. Even during this season, I think that's going to be a big deal for how well they do.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably see maybe a deal at the deadline for some young pitching. I mean, it all really depends on if they're willing to make that move and start getting some younger, cost-effective, high-quality starters.
Part of it depends on Yu Darvish,
Yeah.
what we see. Because, I mean, he got injured, he's doing well now, but the nature of sports injuries is usually it doesn't 100% go away. It's never totally resolved.
Another thing is we're only in spring training, and sometimes guys' stats look a lot more better in spring training than they do during the
Yeah,
regular
we saw that
season.
in 2018. It was stressful.
Yeah, so but I think this spring a lot for Darvish actually will have a big effect on he's building himself back up to be effective in the in this regular season. And I've seen Darvish pitch as a member of the Rangers, and he's really, really good when he's at his best. And I still think he has that in him. His velocity is still there. He just has to get the control and command back. I think coming back from his injuries and being in good all-around health, I think will really have a big effect on him. And he could probably, maybe in the next couple of seasons, if Hamels doesn't come back or Lester, be looked at as the ace of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I think one of my theories that I don't have a lot of data to substantiate yet, but obviously the Brewers are one of our big threats to get where we want to be. I think the velocity and the quality of our pitcher is like our best, it has been our best method of overcoming them historically.
Yeah, the thing about the Brewers is they're a team of a lot of number two, number three pitchers. I mean, they don't really have an ace on their staff. I mean, Chacín was great last year, but he's more of like a number two, number three. Jimmy Nelson is also like a number two, number three. Zach Davies is a back end of the rotation starter. Freddy Peralta was really. Had some ups and downs last season, but he's have a pretty good career. But the thing about, and Chase Anderson as well is good, but he's, like I said, number two, number three. The Brewers don't really have that front of the line starter.
No,
And
they
I
need
think,
that. And
yeah, the.
if we can outpitch their batters, they're nothing. They're not even really a threat.
Yeah, the thing with the Brewers is they definitely have a really, really good lineup. And that's why I said this division is going to be really close this season because Cardinals, Cubs, and the Brewers all are going to be in really big contention with each other. And the Reds look better now than they have in the previous years. And while I don't think they're going to have any chance of winning the division, it's not just going to be sweeping the Reds all the time and stuff like that. They're going to be a head-to-head competition. I mean, I think the only team, the Cubs, might really have a chance at sweeping their division or having a lot of wins against is definitely the Pirates.
Yeah.
So the last player we're going to talk about, and this might be a shocker on my opinion to a lot of people on the outcome of where I project, on Anthony Rizzo. Now, Anthony Rizzo has been amazing for the Cubs. He has been here since the Cubs were bad, and he's seen the World Series championship, and he's still here after, and hopefully going to help the Cubs win another World Series this year. But Anthony Rizzo is set to turn 30 years old by August 8th, and the only reason I know is because we have birthdays around the same time. And so, and I just think going down the line that since Rizzo's entering his 30s and his career has been a lot of up and down offensive seasons, I just think that extending him could be a huge risk factor for the Cubs, and I think it's a huge uncertainty. I mean, he's a great defensive first baseman, and he's usually a very solid offensive player, but now that he's getting into the other side of 30, I just don't know. I don't know if keeping him and instead of just moving on from him is a good idea with all the other players that we've talked about the Cubs need to extend. I mean, the thing about Rizzo is that he's probably also going to want to make some good money when his contract's up. And the Cubs definitely have some options to fill in for Rizzo, I think. Like I said, they could move Schwarber to first or Bryant to first if necessary. A guy we've seen this spring, when he's not ready for the major leagues yet, but I think his name is Jared Young. He's looked really good so far this spring, and we'll see as he plays in the minors how good he gets. But I think that extending Rizzo is probably, out of these position players we talked about, and Hendricks is probably at the bottom of the Cubs list. I think they're more focused on how can we extend Bryant, or how can we extend Baez, or how can we extend Hendricks. I mean, out of all these players we've talked about, Peter, give me the three players you think the Cubs are most likely to extend.
Let's see. I think Bryant, obviously. I could definitely see Baez, and I'd have to go Contreras between Hendricks and Contreras.
Yeah, I think the only place I disagree with you on is Hendricks, because I think the Cubs need to maintain and keep some starting pitching with all these guys coming off the books besides Darvish in the next couple seasons. But I think extending Contreras as well is a good move if they decide to go between the two, because if they have to, because he's a really good catcher, and you don't find the catcher who can hit and catch really well at the same time a lot in the game today. It's usually one way or the other, and the big focus is on having a catcher who can call games and defend. So that concludes our first episode of Cubby Correlation. I thank you all who have listened to the entire episode. We intend on doing this on a weekly basis, and this will probably get a lot more exciting as we dive into the season and we're able to look back at games and look at player performance and just talk about how players are doing and maybe trade predictions or opinions. And so just
when our statistical models are getting more developed as we see what's going on in the season.
Yeah. And so like we both stated, like for me, I haven't really been like watching Cubs baseball consistently since like 2012, 2013. I watched the postseason, but I mean, for me, it's getting back into the players. I'm also getting better with my statistical analysis skills, and I mean, it will be interesting to see how this develops over the course of the season. And I haven't run a podcast sport. I used to run a Mariners podcast with a friend, and I haven't done that in like two to three years as well. So like, this is all a relearning process and getting back into this passionate game I love and sabermetrics, and I'm just excited, and I hope all of you listening are excited to continue to see what comes out of Peter and I and anybody else who decides to join our team on writing or podcasting with us. I mean, it's going to be a fun time while this, as the season goes on. Peter, you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, just as a first take on the season, I think we have a good start, but definitely as the podcasts are coming, there's going to be a lot better predictions and a lot more depth into what we're saying. Really, it's just at a glance statistics right now, like the hitting averages, the RBI, whatever. I think it's going to come down to really finding better indicator statistics, what wins and what doesn't win, and looking at how those indicators compare to different teams in our division. And as we get there, I think we'll be better and better at predicting what's going to happen next game, what's going to happen for the season, and hopefully the Cubs will break through.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and go Cubs.
Go Cubs.